The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses from 21 to 26. Acts 27, 21 to 26. Allow me to read the words of God. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Amen. The northeaster, a wind of hurricane force which hit the Alexandrian ship, was so violent that all those on board had never experienced before. People on board had to throw all their possessions and equipment that were essential to the ship away into the sea to prevent the ship from being turned over. Even after they spent several days without drinking or eating, there still was no sign for the hurricane would subside. After all, people gave up any hope for rescue. Those who proudly departed the fair havens to keep their properties safe now became overwhelmed by despair of death. The Apostle Paul, among them, stood up from the despair of death. That wasn't driven by the strong willingness of faith of his own. It was possible for Paul because God held Paul with a word delivered through his angel, even in the violent storm. God first told Paul, "Do not be afraid." By the deadly hurricane force, Paul also was swept by the fear like others. God went on to reaffirm Paul that he was his Hyperides and Martyrs who must stand trial before Caesar. As long as Paul was God's precious Hyperides and Martyrs, God, the Lord of Paul, made sure that God would keep Paul safe without fail. Then how wild storm can take God's Hyperides and Martyrs away from his hand? As long as Paul didn't forget his identity as the Hyperides and Martyrs of God, there was nothing for Paul to be afraid of or be nervous about. God closed his words through his angel as follows. In verse 24, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." An angel of God told Paul, "You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." The owner of the Alexandrian ship was on board. There also was the captain who took responsible for the navigation of the ship. The centurion also was there. But God neither had the owner, the captain, nor the centurion took the duty. God had Paul, who was old and weak, to take care of all 275 passengers on the ship. Although Paul was old and weak, he was the preparatus and martyrs of God. If God saves Paul, his preparatus and martyrs from the Northeaster, it was evident that others on board with Paul will all be saved, thanks to Paul. Therefore, an angel of God announced to Paul, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. The translated version missed one important word from the Greek original. That's idu, an exclamation to mean behold. So if the original version were to be translated word to word exactly, it becomes, look, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. The fact that the angel of God told him so, with even giving an exclamation, shows how much the angel of God was jealous about him. The lyrics of hymn number 508, wrote by E.T. Cassell, goes as follows. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea, I am here on business for my king. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing, O be ye reconciled. Thus saith my Lord and King, O be ye reconciled to God. This hymn song reminds us that there is something in the world that even an angel might wish to. God values the life of man higher than the universe. And he had Paul to take care of 275 lives, not one or two. Then how come could the angel avoid admiring and being jealous of him? So the angel told Paul with exclamation, look, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Paul was neither powerful nor rich man. Paul, who had nothing in life, was a weak, sick, and old man. Among the 276 passengers on the Alexandrian ship, Paul might be the oldest and most humble man. God, however, took the lives of 275 people to one man, Paul, amid the violent Northeaster, because, as mentioned, he was the preparatus and martyrs whom God trusted. That was not the only time when God did so. Paul navigated the Mediterranean world three times to fulfill the mission as God's preparatus and martyrs. Through the three times of mission trip around the Mediterranean world, Paul visited 57 cities, which means that it traveled as far as 13,300 kilometers. God took a number of people to Paul, where he stayed. In Cyprus, Pisidian Antioch, Lystra, Philippias, Athens, and Corinth, the same thing was repeatedly took place. It's even impossible to count how many people have been taken to Paul since he was called by God on the road of Damascus while persecuting church. As such, God takes your people to a person who is God's Rupertus and Martus, because God's Rupertus and Martus, after all, is the tool for God to love and save the people of this world. From this perspective, Paul is someone for us to pursue to resemble, but at the same time, makes us feel small. We all are Christians who need to seek to be Hippolytus and Martus. But we have never visited 55 cities as God's Hippolytus and Martus to love and save people, or traveled as much as 13,300 kilometers. We have never even taken responsible for the lives of 275 people all at the same time. Therefore, in front of Paul, whom the angel of God gave an exclamation and was jealous about, we should helplessly feel small. God transcends time and space. Evaluation of such God can never be the same as us who are stuck in the boundary of time and space. Nazareth of Galilee was in a slum area. Comparing with the sophisticated elite of Jerusalem, poor and ignorant people of Nazareth were extremely humble. Whatever it might be, was it even possible for the people of Nazareth to impact the world? However, the woman who gave birth to Jesus was Mary from the shanty town of Nazareth. What Mary did was just give birth to Jesus as a virgin to obey the word of God can take care of him. But such a humble woman of Mary from Nazareth became the holy mother of Jesus, who saved all mankind. How great it is. Therefore, when the angel told Mary that she was having Jesus, the angel made an exclamation, Idu. In Luke 1:31, Luke, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. The angel made exclamation in jealousy of Virgin Mary, who will bear Jesus, the Son of God, who will save the all mankind. Therefore, if today's scripture can be put in this verse, it becomes, look, God has graciously given you the lives of all through Jesus, whom you will give birth. because of the pure faith of Virgin Mary, who risked even life to obey the command of God. The Lord took all men whom God would like to save through His only Son. This does not limit it to Mary, the mother of Jesus. As you are well aware, Ruth and Esther are the only two women who became the title of the book among the 39 books of the Old Testament. Esther was the queen of the Persian king Ahasuerus, and it's understandable that her name can be the title of the book of the Old Testament. Ruth, however, was a Gentile woman whom the Jews considered lower than animals, and a widow whose husband died young. The only thing that Ruth did good was that she took very good care of her mother-in-law even after her husband died, and later married to Boaz through the arrangement of her mother-in-law, and gave birth to a son named Obed. After delivering her son, Obed, she let her mother-in-law, Naomi, enjoy the pleasure of taking care of a newborn baby. Ruth was just an ordinary housewife. But the Bible testifies that Ruth and Boaz had a son as follows. In Ruth chapter 4, from verse 16 to 22, then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. The Bible emphasizes that the grandson of Obed, son of Ruth, is David. In other words, Ruth is the great-grandmother of David by writing the fact twice. David is the great figure who renewed the history of Israel. Even today, the flag of Israel has a star, and people call it the Star of David. As long as it concerns to the faith of Israelites, David is the center of it, going beyond time and space. Therefore, from the perspective of today's scripture, the testimony of the book of Ruth, that she's the great-grandmother of David, also is the announcement toward Ruth that holds the same meaning. Look, God has graciously given you Ruth, the people of Israel, through David, who will inherit your blood. The name Tychicus appears in the Ephesus and Colossians, recorded by Paul in jail. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. In Colossians 4:7, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. In the past, communication technology was not quite developed, and there were no post offices or mailmen. So letters must be delivered by someone in person. The letter that Paul wrote in a jail in Rome to Christians in the Ephesus and Colossians was delivered by Tychicus at Ephesus and Colossians. From Rome to Ephesus, it was 1,500 kilometers and around 2,000 kilometers to Colossia. Considering that the distance from Seoul Toll Gate to Busan is only 370 kilometers, we can easily assume how far 1,500 kilometers or 2,000 kilometers might be. 2,000 years ago, usual transportation of ordinary people were sailing or walk. By sail and walk to travel 1,500 kilometers or 2,000 kilometer distance, it wasn't easy at all. Tychicus was not a known figure except that he was from Asia, which was the western part of the modern Turkey. But Tychicus went all the way from the Roman jail to Ephesus and Colossia to deliver the letter that Paul wrote. At first glance, it looks nothing. But if Tychicus did not do that, how could the Christians in Ephesus and Colossia gain the spiritual power and get their faith righteous? That's not all. Without Tychicus, how could we find the Ephesus and Colossians in the New Testament while living in this 21st century? Therefore, if the testimony of the Bible revealing that it was Tychicus who personally delivered the Ephesus and Colossians was translated through today's scripture, this also will be the announcement of the meaning as follows. Look, God has graciously given you the people of all who will read the letter of Paul that you deliver transcending time and space. Mary was a poor and undereducated woman who lived in a shanty town of Nazareth. Ruth was a Gentile whom the Jews hated to get along with. Tychicus was an unknown man with having nothing to show off. However, they had one thing in common. All of them, like Paul, were God's preparedness and martyrs to love and save people. And God had the preparedness and martyrs of God take care of his people, transcending time and space. It doesn't matter that we're not highly educated and poor like Mary of Nazareth. It's okay that what we do might look unimportant like Tychicus. It's also fine that we might not look special like Ruth. Our nationality also doesn't matter. As long as we live as the preparedness and martyrs of God to love and save people, God will give us his man, transcending time in space. Please understand that I am telling you my story. At the end of June, I went to an assembly held by Bangju Church in Jeju Island. There were some of my friends who came all the way down to Jeju. One friend among them was a retired college professor and lived in Jinju. At dinner, the friend sitting next to me told me that I thank you for changing your mind at 2 a.m. on August 2nd, 1984. I wonder what that meant, and he added, if you didn't change your mind, I would never have changed mine. The friend read the book New Believer's Class that I authored and received God. Since then, he read books and listened to my sermons and knew that I changed my mind on August 2nd, 1984 at 2 a.m. The change in mind led me to write the book New Believer's Class, and thanks to the book, he changed his mind. I told him that all of them were done by God. And in my way back to the hotel, I felt miraculous. As you might know, I barely attended church only on Sundays at the time, but personally met God finally on August 2nd at 2 a.m. through my wife's diary. Even though she even thought about killing herself because of me wasting every day in drinking, she had to love me because God commanded to do so. Through the diary of my wife, I was captured by God like God did Paul on the road of Damascus. If my wife gave up on me, I could never exist as I am today. Thanks to the faith of my wife, I found the right way in God and was able to write a book like New Believer's Class, and thus my friend could receive God through New Believer's Class. In Jeju Island, my wife first met my friend who thanked my commitment. But from the viewpoint of today's scripture, God eventually had my wife to take care of not only me, but my friend who met God through New Believer's Class that I wrote. Years ago, my wife was used without knowing as a tool of God who saved my friend, transcending time and space. Among the 275 people on board the Alexandrian ship with Paul, Luke and Aristarchus also were there. Luke, who wrote the Acts, met Paul in Troas during Paul's second mission trip and stayed until and helped him until Paul was beheaded in Rome. That was almost 20 years. Aristarchus joined Paul's trip in Corinth when Paul was getting back to Jerusalem and also stayed until Paul died for 10 years or so. Among 275 people, except Lucan Aristarchus becomes 273. After surviving the Northeaster, they stayed the winter with Paul in Malta, reached the Italian peninsula, and left Paul next spring. The period they spent with Paul was only several months. As such, time that the people on the Alexandrian ship spent with Paul was different. Paul fulfilled his mission as the preparatus and martyrs of God to love and save people. And God saved every one of them through Paul. It was such a miraculous providence that the angel could not resist from being jealous of and admiring. The period when we meet people and sail with the people in the sea of our life is not identical. We might sail together throughout the whole life with some, and it could take only several years, months, or days with the other. The length of the period doesn't matter. What's important is that we live as the preparatus and martyrs of God to love and save people. Then God will save his people, transcending time and space without fail through us in our voyage of life. There might be some people who might hate us and criticize us among those who we meet in our voyage of life. Didn't Paul also have trouble by such people? But as long as we live as God's preparatus and martyrs to love and save people, we don't have to be disappointed or frustrated. Paul testified in the Corinth chapter 13, verse 8, which is dubbed the chapter of love, as follows: love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, and other talents can sometimes become useless, while love never fails. In the Greek version, the verb ekpipto was used to mean disappear or fail. Even if we live as God's preparatus and martyrs to love and save people, and someone still hates and slanders us, that's the problem of them. It does not mean that our love disappeared or failed. It's because God had our life as the pathway to save someone without fail, transcending time and space. While we are alive, we could never understand God saved someone through us, how many people the Lord saved. But as long as we live as the preparatus and martyrs of Jesus, who lived again in 3 days to love and save people, we will see how many people were saved by God, transcending time and space through us, and be pleasantly surprised. The angel who knows the fact made exclamation and proclaimed to us today, "Look, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail the voyage of life with you. Let us pray. Lord, who gave the salvation of the mankind to Mary of Nazareth, transcending time and space. Lord, who gave the future of Israel to Ruth, a Gentile woman, transcending time and space. Lord, who gave the readers of the Ephesus and Colossians to unknown figure of Tychicus, transcending time and space. In the violent storm of the Northeaster, the Lord gave all the lives of 275 people on board the Alexandrian ship, transcending time and space. We thank you for letting us realize that Jesus, who lived again in 3 days, called us to use us as God's preparators and martyrs like them. In front of those whom we would meet in the voyage of life, allow us to live as God's preparators and martyrs, to love and save people even amid the violent storm, regardless of the time of the stay or the response, so that help us praise God later in the kingdom of God, making sure how many people God has saved, transcending time and space through our life. May such a life of us be the artwork of God, which became the subject of envy and admiration. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.